As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Welcome to Point of Contention on the Athletic Podcast Show. No, that's not right. 3, 2. Welcome to Point of Contention on the Athletic NBA Show. Fuck, I can't talk. This is what happens when you take time off. Jade, leave all this in. Welcome to Point of Contention on the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm back from the desert. I'm Zach Harper. Today, 5 topics, 5 points of contention, 5 minutes for each topic as we go through the Giannis extension, Kyrie wanting to be KD in a past life, or maybe he was. What are the rookies up to in preseason? Gordon Hayward hurt again, and we're gonna fat shame some people. Maybe. Or maybe we'll make excuses for them. I'm Zach Harper, that's Jade Hoy producing. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, 2-time award-winning author. I don't know if he actually won awards, but proof that he didn't. It's Marcus Thompson. Marcus, how has the preseason been treating you in these empty arenas?
I got my first COVID test in an empty arena. I actually took it. I was, I'm negative, of course, because, you know, I'm me. You feel me? But it was.
Yeah, that's not science.
I know, right? It was pretty interesting. Listen, none of that even matters. You know why? Because Too Short versus E-40 on Versus. This is like a Bay Area weekend. Let's go. Freaky Tales, Money in the Ghetto, I'm a Player, and, of course, In the Trunk. Those are my top five Too Short
and
songs.
This corner, the suburban Bay Area legend, the author of The Victory Machine, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan, who you got in the versus battle, E-40 or Too Short?
E-40. That's my call.
This is slander. Wow. This is slander. Wow. This is what happens when you move out of Oakland.
That ought to set the tone for this POC right now. Let's go, Jay. Take one. That was not great phrasing, or was it? All right, Giannis, he's staying. We think he signs a 5-year, $228 million Supermax extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. And now it's time to relax, Milwaukee. Or maybe some people think he'll go the way of a Paul George or a Russell Westbrook and force his way out of that small market before that deal is up. And so, Ethan, I'll start with you. What do the Bucks have to worry about more? The future of Giannis within this extension or their own coaching problems that they've had the last 2 years in the playoffs continuing into the future?
Wow, the evil media turning it negative immediately.
Oh, you've got to. No, what are we going to just throw flowers out there and light candles and say, oh my God, what a party it's time to have in Milwaukee? No, you always try to get the star out of the small market. Yeah, that's media 101.
Yeah. Drumbeat, negativity. It's not working. Ownership's making bad decisions. Coach can't coach.
Terrible decisions.
Coach can't coach. You know where coaches can coach? Big markets. Big markets.
Oh, the biggest.
That's where they can coach. That's where they know what the adjustments are.
You get extra timeouts in
especially
the big market
in the Bay Area. Man, they're really good.
Oh, they can coach so great. Look, man, what do they focus on? As Al Davis once said, just win, baby. That's what they focus on. And yeah, Maybe it's not a guarantee that he stays there forever. Maybe he could do the me agency move of requesting a trade. Such things can happen. Perhaps that was even negotiated behind the scenes, that if I want out, you can let me out. Who knows? But for now, this is an extremely positive development, especially since when you read the reporting on it, it seems like it was a little touch and go. It seems like they made that move to get Holiday without knowing that he was coming back in the fold, which, I mean, that's ballsy. That's a risk. So give the Bucks credit for that. And maybe it's not totally permanent, but it's permanent enough. It's permanent for now. And the Bucks fans have to be thrilled.
Marcus, what's the biggest obstacle for the Bucks winning a championship this season?
I'm going to go with Boston, Philly, the Lakers. I don't know if they stack up talent wise. Drew Holiday is definitely a key addition, but they're going to have to find another young piece. They're going to have to find another player to put him with. I don't care how much money he got. There's some talented duos waiting for him outside of Milwaukee. So they need to create one, and they probably need a younger one to pair with him. Ooh. Because Luka just looks very appealing. I think the interesting part was how I was reading Brian Windhorst and Kevin Arnovitz's piece about it, and just the uncertainty that seemed to be there. Like, Giannis waited for a while, and they went into a meeting kind of having to pitch to him what they would do. So I do think you got to give the Bucks a lot of credit for not taking the, I guess what you could say, like the arrogant stance of, you know who I am. We're the Kevin Durant of franchises, right? Like, they didn't do that pitch, and they sat down and they made their pitch to him. It was interesting to me that they needed to. That was important. I do think this is a big deal. I do think it means he'll stay. Can things change? Yes, but it's not going to happen right now. And I think he at least baked in 2 to 3 years with them. So they can't ask for more than that. I'm glad it happened, but man, that had to be some sweating moments for them. Like, if they got to sit there and sell Giannis, who's been there already.
Yeah. Some Mike Budenholzer forehead sweat. That's what I picture right now.
Ethan, is this good for the league?
Is it good for the league? I would say yes. The carousel's gotten too crazy. There's too much shifting. These casuals can't keep up with it all. They don't know which guy's on what team. A lot of them didn't even know who Giannis was or were just starting to learn about it. So I think just because the league needed some continuity, just some continuity, some expectation of fans that if you invest in a drafted superstar, he's not just going to go to another team, and suddenly you had Harden trying to ask out, and the whole thing was just getting too much. So I think overall this is a positive thing for the league, although it's hard to know, right? We can't predict the future. We don't know what would have happened if Giannis joined one of these teams and then he wins 6 championships in a row, making himself legendary. I don't know, but I think in the short term, good for the league.
It's only good if they make it work, right? It's only good if they can put the team around him. I believe the NBA needs a dynasty and it needs a great rivalry. So if he can somehow emerge and become like a guy that is going to the finals or got a chance to go to the finals every year and wins a couple, then it's good for the league. If this dude ends up not winning a title and floundering and never putting a team around him, then it's bad for the league because he's one of the best players in the league and a potential star. They've got to capitalize on it. They can't just be like, oh, we got Giannis, we're good. You got to make this happen now.
Right. And with that extension and that commitment, it looks like he'll be posting up in Milwaukee for a long time. Speaking of posting up, take two. Oh, my goodness. Did you catch the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant IG Live from this past weekend? What a time it was. We had Kyrie Irving talking to teammates, I believe. I think Caris LeVert was on there at first, and then KD joined the show, and they were talking, and there are two things to take out of this. One, Kyrie Irving wants to post up about 8 times a game, to which Kevin Durant at one point was negotiating, got him down to, I think, 2.5 post-ups per game, one of those post-ups being where he throws the ball to Kyrie in the post, and Kyrie just gives it right back to him. Not really a post-up there, but he got it down to 2, and then at one point said, I don't think it's best for our offense if our point guard is under the basket all the time. And then the other thing was Kyrie said that he believes he was Kevin Durant in a past life. So, Marcus, with the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant duo in Brooklyn, now that we've seen it on the court a little bit in preseason, and we're going to see it a whole lot more this season, Kyrie wanting to change things up a bit and be a little, you know, be a little bombastic in the way he approaches the point guard position. Well, Marcus, I got to ask, were KD and Kyrie messing with us with this IG Live discussion, or is there more to it?
I don't think they were messing with us. I think they were just being themselves. And I do think it was an actual, like, window into why, like, this might work. It could work. Like, Kyrie was pretty – that was a pretty – you know, they say Kyrie is a different dude. That was a different dude, like, on full display right there. Like, he clearly was talking about being reincarnated, and somehow he lost several inches of height in this reincarnation. But he kept a lot of skill, which was impressive. That's an impressive reincarnation rate. But I really loved the big brother Kevin Durant vibes. And he's really good at this. Right, this is my favorite Kevin Durant, right? It's the, like, yo, pat you on top of the head, like, relax. So he's like, we'll see. We got to do what's best for the office. Yeah, I was thinking 2 and 5. I thought we talked about this, Kyrie. He was just like Mr. Big Brother. And he was like encouraging and positive with a little bit air of condescension. Like, yo, I'm going to pat you on top of the head. This is the best KD. Like, yeah, champ, you're the best, man. Yeah, but, you know, slow down a little bit. Take your time. Like, this is the KD you want advising your life. This is the guy we need to see more of. And he needs to have a podcast where he's just doling out advice to people as Big Brother KD, because this dude is very entertaining.
Yeah. Is there,
Ethan, I would love for you to put your whole opinion in this.
Oh, my whole right opinion. Now. Yeah. It was like with the way he was handling CJ McCollum a little bit, which was highly amusing. I think
it's absolutely right.
in addition to everything else happening here, I feel like KD's getting out different duded. You know, like I thought KD was a different dude. Like, when he was around here, I thought this is like epitome of different dude right here, Kevin Durant. And now I don't even know what the analogy would be for it. Maybe it would be obviously when Russia went to war with Finland. I mean, I know that's the first thing that comes to mind.
I mean, that's what we all think.
That's what everybody was thinking. But
I
like,
mean, I was literally typing that right there. Like, wow.
Everybody thought Russia was just the ultimate cold weather, military power. You know, you go out there to Russia, your tank starts freezing, you don't know what to do, they're hard bitten, you know, they are the kings of cold. But then they invaded Finland and they got out colded. The Finns were just skiing around in all white jumpsuits, looking like they're out of some action movie. And, you know, it was just crazy. And Finland ended up winning. I feel like that's what's happening right here. Kyrie is on a level of different dudeness beyond Kevin Durant. He is just completely taking this, and he is taking the spotlight. He is talking about reincarnation. And I look forward to watching this, but I just think that he is going to make Kevin Durant look so normal. He's going to make him look like Thunder, early Thunder Kevin Durant.
I don't think Kevin Durant was ever not normal. I just thought he was more vulnerable than most athletes allow us to see. Like, he just showed that he had feelings. Kyrie is different. Like, that's like, you know, Kevin Durant was never on like a reservation trying to channel his ancestors' roots, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, different, like, thinking different. Like, you don't hear world is flat comments from Kevin. Like, that's just not who he is. He's just a guy who lets you know how he feels and probably, you know, doesn't follow all the PR rules. But he's definitely going to look like a normal guy next to Kyrie. No question about it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, neither of these guys are new to this game. But speaking of new to the NBA, the rookies, take three, Jade. It's rookie time. So we've seen Anthony Edwards, you know, maybe the number one pick, shooting like 26% in the first couple of games. No big deal. I don't think we've seen James Wiseman yet. LaMelo Ball can't hit a shot, but he's slinging that basketball all over the court in fancy fashion to his teammates. Patrick Williams looks good for the Bulls. So, guys, I'll start off with you, Ethan. What can we expect out of this rookie class that everyone was so down on? Maybe it's not so bad.
Well, Samus Fandiari posited a theory, and for some reason he added me. I don't know why. Maybe so I can steal it. Maybe so I can take credit.
It was mine. Based on my article, so I feel like I should be the one to steal it.
But yeah, we'll see.
Carry on.
Let me see if I like it, and then I'll steal it.
This will be like when Vinny Goodwill coined the death lineup, and everybody gave me credit for coming up with it for about a half decade or so, and they continue to do so.
I wonder why.
The theory is that we think this is a bad draft class, but it turns out that doing individual drill work improves a player for the NBA way more than playing these college games. A, because playing in games doesn't necessarily result in the skill development that you want, and B, because the college games have literally different rules from the NBA games. So the ability for these players just to work on their skills might give them an advantage in this crazy situation, and that might be a factor in why some of these guys look a little better than we might think. I think people have been impressed by Patrick Williams. People have certainly been impressed with, and maybe this doesn't fit the example because Israel, but Denny Avdija, people have been impressed by, and a few others. So I'm with it. I'm with the theory that this draft class is not going to be as disappointing as its reputation would lead some to believe.
I think a big part of it is the amount of time they had to work on their games. Remember, the college season ended early, no tournament, and the draft didn't happen till November. So you're looking at 8 months to literally prepare for the NBA season. And in no other universe does that happen. Like, you get all that time to focus keenly on just building your game. So that, I think that was an advantage this crop of players had. But in any situation, well, I would say any, in most situations, it's probably better to not have a college coach responsible for your development. They are literally out to save their jobs and to win games. And the sheer impetus of college sports is about this rah-rah team, yada, yada. And you can't get the individual attention you need at that level. Like, that's just not what it's for. So if you can just focus on you, live your best life, do you, you know what I'm saying? Like the youngins say, it will help you. But if you can do it for 8 months before the season, like, that really helps.
Are you telling me that a fraud like John Calipari is not helping these kids be their best selves for college?
Absolutely he is.
I'm going to push back on that. I don't know what Calipari does, but if you look at the active players from blank university, nobody's coming close to Kentucky. That's got to be worth
But they're
something.
Playing NBA basketball in but, college. They're not doing 17 passes before a shot because the coach said so.
Right, but he's also telling Devin Booker, don't run pick and roll. Karl-Anthony Towns, don't shoot jumpers. Like, he's doing a lot of stuff there where he's constricting what these kids can do. And we've seen, one, it doesn't really lead to him winning a whole lot of championships. And two, I mostly call him a fraud because when he was in the NBA, he was a horrible coach. Now, granted, that was a long time ago, but if he was really that good of a coach, he would have come back to the NBA. And everyone knows that those little reports every single April of, hey, maybe John Calipari's coming back to the NBA, they're all fraudulent reports. He's not coming back. Fraud.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Well, 17. He's got 25, 26 active Kentucky players in the NBA. I mean,
yes. How many of those did he get to the NBA? Any of those guys were not going to go to the NBA?
I mean,
he's a great recruiter. He's a great recruiter. Well, I mean, I think,
yeah,
on college basketball that John Calipari is the liberator, right? Like, he's the one who's like, yo, if you come play for me, we're going to play like the NBA. You go to some of these other schools, man, your talent will be completely shelved. But you're right. He's not out here like, hey, Carl, work on your three. This is what you're going to need in the pros. but he's definitely more free than a typical college basketball team, which, like you said, is putting the ball in the hands of a dude who's probably never going to play and requiring 17 passes. Like, you better not shoot before the 17th right. pass or you're going to be running suicides.
Right. It's not a Tom Crean situation, right? Yeah. It's nothing like that.
Tom Crean situation.
Ethan, real quick, this LaMelo Ball. Maybe you were wrong about him.
Wait, what was I wrong about? What's going on?
You hated him or something, right? I don't really remember what you said about it. You know what? Let's go on to take four.
No. Like, wait a second. Take four.
Someone LaMelo may not be passing to for a while. Gordon Hayward. He's hurt again. He's day-to-day with a fracture in his hand. Over the last few years, he has had a rough time with these injuries. But I'm curious, who do you feel worse for? And this may be colored a little bit by the contract that Gordon Hayward just got, but let's take contracts out of this. Who do you feel worse for when it comes to these NBA injuries over the last few years, guys? We have Gordon Hayward, who can't seem to stay on the court. We have Klay Thompson, who can't get back on the court. We have DeMarcus Cousins, who really struggled with injuries for a couple of years. And Isaiah Thomas, whose career may be effectively over at this point, unless he can just kind of hang on to these training camp invites and make the team. But Marcus, I'll start with you. Who is the most snake bitten by all of these injuries over the last few seasons?
For me, it's easily DeMarcus Cousins. He didn't get paid. I know you said take contracts out, but
he didn't get
his money. And he was supposed to, like, as much as I respect the hell out of Isaiah Thomas, like he was defying odds, right? Like, he was incredible for even making it and being good in the NBA. So it's very heartbreaking. I still can't get the image of him, like, when his sister died. And just, like, I mean, like, it's heartbreaking for him. But DeMarcus Cousins is like a 7-foot center, one of the most skilled of all time. He was supposed to see $500 million out of this. And, like, right when it was time to get paid is when it all went downhill. Like, this, that is literally missed opportunity for him. And yeah, for me, that's that it, back to back to back to back to back. Like, that's tough.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Yeah, it's Klay Thompson. We want to see him play. It's disappointing. None of us would want back-to-back injuries, but he got the full contract. He has 100% approval rate in the Bay Area. He is known as a winner. If he retired today, he would have a reputation etched in stone. I think Hall of Famer, all the great things. Some of these other guys I don't think have gotten a chance to do so. I need more information, though, about the Hayward injury, because that avulsion, I see avulsion, that's one of those injuries that just sends a shiver down my spine, especially the ring avulsion. And I don't think this was a ring avulsion, right? Do we have information on that? Was this a ring avulsion, like the way that Jimmy Fallon had a ring avulsion? So that sort of injury is one where the ring catches onto something and the skin and everything is just pulled off your finger. It's one of the reasons why I just don't wear my wedding ring as much as my wife wants me to. Or at least that's what I say.
Yeah,
I don't want that ring avulsion.
Ethan, I have an update. We have an update. An avulsion fracture of his fifth metacarpal on his right hand.
So no ring. No ring.
That's the pinky,
is the
right?
Fifth your pinky? Does Gordon Hayward... wear a thumb ring?
You can lose a pinky, right?
Does anybody wear a thumb ring? Other than
Phil Jackson? Yeah, I bet you... I bet you Dennis Rodman wears a thumb ring.
By the way,
like LaMelo, someone who doesn't deal peyote. No.
By the way, Zach LaMelo, and maybe he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. Shooting 20% so far over his first two games.
Oh, but the pass. I mean, look, Bob Cousy got in shooting 20%. Why can't LaMelo?
Facts. I mean, those six total start assists on that over fraud those two
Bob
games.
Cousy, okay?
Hey, look,
shoots 37% for his career, 35% in the playoffs. Great point guard.
I know you're not going to shed any tears for a dude who made $91.8 million over his career, but Cousins averages throughout his whole career, averages just over $8 million a year. Think about that, considering his talent. Like, that's so far below what his talent said he should be making. Like, that's crazy. The most he's ever made was $18 million. A lot of money, I got it. But based on his talent, he was supposed to get a super bag. And it's never going to come now.
Let's drive down 80 and drive around Sacramento and ask people how bad they feel about that.
You know what? What the hell happened to me saying, hey, guys, take contracts out of it? And all you guys have talked about are contracts during this segment.
Money, money, money.
This is frustrating.
Yeah, you can't take money out the equation. Come on, man. It's not possible.
That's true. All right. So what are we worried about Gordon Hayward?
Nah,
money aside?
I don't know.
Ethan seems to be worried that he's going to lose his hand from this
I'm going to lose my hand. That's what I worry
about.
He
was worried from Gordon Hayward's injury? He don't care that it's the pinky. Yeah, like, get that thing off.
Yeah, pinky, like.
Yeah, they didn't pull the skin off. It's called degloving, by the way. Don't look it up. You don't want to see it.
Why would anyone look that up? I thought degloving was when the Sonics traded Gary Payton to the Bucks.
How the hell did you do that?
That's so great.
Also, Jade, can we find out if Ashley Judd listens to this podcast? If so, cut all of that Calipari slander on the pod.
Can we find
if
out?
So, I don't want to get on the wrong side of Ashley Judd. I love her. All right, thank you. We'll find that out and we'll fix that in post. All right.
Yeah.
Take five. Should we be fat shaming?
Mm.
Yes or no when it comes to Zion Williamson and James Harden? So Zion came into the bubble a little heavy, I would say, a little heavier than maybe people had hoped he would, and didn't exactly perform, and the Pelicans kind of just dispersed out of that bubble pretty lacklusterly. And then now James Harden, after a week off of training camp in which he was with his quote-unquote personal trainers in Las Vegas and Atlanta, according to him, working with his personal trainers and not working on 5-on-5, which he said, by the way, was so important for all this stuff and getting back into shape. Yeah, he showed up Tuesday night, and we had a meme-worthy picture from a pregame spot in which he looked round. He looked very round. And so we're not supposed to fat-shame people anymore, but we do like to talk about whether or not a guy is in shape. And so, Ethan, you have the theory that fat is potential in disguise. Is it possible that while James Harden has acquired maybe more fat this offseason, perhaps he's also acquired more potential for his next spot when he gets traded?
It doesn't work that way if you were skinny before you added the weight. the fat potential is the fat
so
and potential
fat
is disguise
in that case
theory.
Is potential squandered.
Yeah. It only works in situations where the guy was always fat. It only works for that. I think that this could be a very positive development I've discovered for myself, because the more I talk about it, the more I critique how much weight Harden and some of these guys have put on, the more pressure I put on myself. Because in this quarantine, in this pandemic, I've been drinking my Stella Artois. I've been, letting certain things go.
Sponsor?
I'm out in the suburbs. I'm up in the hills. It makes it really hard to just go on a run. And I know everybody feels badly for me on that one.
Make it easier to go on a run?
What was that?
Doesn't that make it easier to go on a run?
The hills?
You're in the hills. Nobody's up there.
If you want to do a difficult run, but come on. I'm not going to do that. I want some nice flatland.
Downtown, man. Just go downtown, pull up and run around.
Look, all I'm saying is this. It's good. It will put the pressure on us. It will get us in shape if we criticize these guys for not being in shape. And I, as I've discussed on my own podcast, I think people are looking around the league and going, yeah, this whole short turnaround offseason has guys coming back looking rough. There are guys who just we were impressed by how in shape guys were entering the bubble. And I think now it's the other direction. We're looking at some of these guys starting the season. They didn't have enough time to take care of themselves, and the results are predictable.
Now, Marcus, I don't know if you noticed, but James Harden then after that, you know, that viral picture, the next time he talked to reporters, he had the sleeveless look going. Arms were oiled up so you could see the guns, right? You could see those muscles popping. But we do have, you know, from Sam Amick of The Athletic, a quote, "It just fucks up your whole organization. Harden is a terrific scorer, but not a champion. He is so used to getting his way," said an executive. And that's the problem with trading for James Harden. Do you think that James Harden is short of suitors when it comes to trades?
I don't think it's because of James Harden. I think it's because of the price the Rockets want. I think there are a number of teams that would love to have Harden bringing them ESPN highlights and getting them to, you know, deep into the playoffs, like dropping 60 on, like plenty of teams would take that. I think Philly would take it in a heartbeat, but the price is just too high for a 30 year old. Like, that's just like, if it comes down, if he gets a little ornery and starts, you know, like continues the behavior that's been going, that price will drop. And then I think you'll see some suitors. I think for the right price, a number of teams will take him, including the Warriors, if the price is right. So he's still incredible. And I don't think it's fat shaming, Zach. Like, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's Athletic Integrity Watch. That's what I think.
That's good rebranding.
You're a professional athlete. Yeah. We're just determining if you keep your integrity as an athlete. That's it. That's all it is.
Right. So, that's like when we change load management to injury management. That's just good rebranding.
I did see people saying stuff like that. They say the sports writers, basketball writers shouldn't be talking at all about these guys' bodies, considering how we look. And it was just thinking, everybody knows when somebody gets fat, though, right? Like everybody has eyes. Everybody can see.
Well, is it possible that James Harden, you know, just wearing some heat packs, maybe wearing some wraps on his torso during that, so it looked worse? I mean, granted,
he's getting that. He's getting the Marilyn Monroe dress wind just blowing into his warm-ups and puffing it out.
This is the problem when you don't take your own Instagram photos. If he took his own Instagram photos, he would know how to manipulate the angles. Like, there's a whole, like, master's class he can take on how to manipulate the angle so he doesn't have this problem. So this is what happens. Take your own photos, athletes. Stop letting people
So here's the problem with that.
It wasn't his photo. Okay. I knew as I was saying it, I was like, dang, he didn't even take that photo.
Here's the problem. He didn't take that photo. Two, I'm looking at this photo right now. He has all the right things, right? Here's an angle number one, you know, angle 101. You want it from up high. Right? None of that, FaceTiming from below my chin. No. He's got it up high. It's up high. You want it kind of at an angle where your leg is in front of the other one, because that creates a slimming look right there. Mm. He's kind of got that because he's mid-stride and that foot is forward. What if this is the best angle of James Harden?
Yo, maybe.
What if it's worse?
Relax.
Look. I can say this because it looks like we're in the same shape right now, minus the oiled up guns.
Just, you know, I'm jealous.
How do you know? How do you know about the rules?
I know all about this stuff, Marcus.
Yeah. I'm jealous of people who gain weight in an even distribution. To me, it just goes all to my face. There's no hiding. There's no hiding. It's we'll do another podcast where we share our tips, how to manipulate angles and whatnot. He does look very different depending on the time of day, though, because once he started
playing, that's a great point.
Once he started playing and he had the warm-ups off, he looked more like the James Harden that we recognize, albeit maybe not with those the super cut arms, which Marcus has said is the way that you can tell if guys have been really working out and whatnot. He does have just insane fluctuations depending on the photograph, depending on the lighting. It seems like he could be within a 50-pound range just depending on angle, and it's an incredible talent, quite frankly.
50-pound range?
Zach, he's calling him the Luther Vandross 50? Of the NBA.
Oh
in the words of E40 for the Versus, prices fluctuate like Luther Vandross' weight. Maybe we could change it to James Harden.
I do feel like, too, I do think that we've seen James play his way into shape in the regular season before that first month. He's still pretty good when he's playing his way into shape. Yeah.
That's the ultimate genius. Comeback, right? Like, yeah, I'm a little bit pudgy. You guard me. Right? Yeah. Comes in, you guard me.
Granted, he shot a little bit like LaMelo, who Ethan has told all of us is not any good.
I just want...
But that's a topic for another day. That's going to do it for today's POC podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. Sorry, Ethan, we just do not have time on this fully flexible schedule to get your LaMelo ball point in. Ballpoint pen? Nah, there's nothing there. Don't worry about it.
I'm mad they didn't do a Double Jeopardy reference to the Ashley Judd mention, but, you know, it's okay. We're not in mid-season.
I was in the desert for 4 days, okay? I'm lucky that I'm as coherent as I am at this point. It's been a rough week as I took a vacation and recharged my battery, much like it seems like James Harden did during his personal training in Atlanta and Las Vegas. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave a nice review. If you're not subscribed to The Athletic, what's wrong with you? Subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you check out all the great work from Marcus and Ethan. Also, check out the restricted area on The Athletic's YouTube channel with myself and Wozni Lambre. We have predictions for awards and where teams are going to finish in the East and West this week. So go to The Athletic YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAthletic. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you subscribe to that. You get updates from not just the restricted area, but all the great video work we have coming from The Athletic video department. For Ethan Strauss, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
I don't get a rant again.